how much do we really need? And how long can a dream survive that seems to thrive on greed? Political pollution is so thick and dark and dense, it contaminates and poisons common good and common sense.
Welcome back to Eco Talk, and we're taping this program on Wednesday afternoon, the 9th of March, for air in most parts of the country Sunday morning. I have to mention that because it's kind of a twilight zone type day. We have seen oil, the price of oil, reach record highs, if not near record highs, then go back down a little bit, but the point is it's going to keep heading that way. At the same time, we have General Motors demanding the return of their electric vehicles, groundbreaking vehicle, the EV1, and we have car sitters protesting that, so it's the car sitters versus the car crushers, kind of a David and Goliath story. And this story is very compelling. I hope you find it as interesting as I do, because it's about a woman who was once GM's most enthusiastic employee because she was picked to work on the EV1 to promote it, and she is now leading this vigil, this protest that I think is entering its fourth week in Burbank outside a GM training center. So without further delay, let's bring in Chelsea Sexton. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Now, this is a fascinating story, both professionally and personally. Just take us back quickly, summarize how EV1 came to change your life.
Well, basically, I bought my first Saturn at 17, and they asked me to come work there, and so I did. I spent 3 years on the Saturn project, and then I moved over to EV1 and was one of the original 12, 13 EV specialists picked to bring the car to market, keep it on the road, create and market the events, and design the brochures and whatnot. And over the course of those 6 years with EV1, I leased more EV1s than any other specialist and worked with thousands of customers. And I also met and married an EV1 technician and had a child who became the EV1 mascot. But over the course of those 6 years, I also ran out of cars. And I did it very, very early on, as did the rest of the EV specialists. Dave's right. They did only lease 800 cars over 4 years, but that's because they only made 800 cars available over 4 years. They made about 1,100 EV1s, and they made about 800 of them available. And he says now that that's because there was no demand, but we actually had a waiting list, and we used to beg GM for more cars to put on the road. In fact, that's why we started the waiting list, because they used to make us promises like, if there's demand, we'll build you more cars. And we'd say, okay, how much is demand? How many orders do you need to see? And they would never tell us. So we started a waiting list in order to show that to them. And everybody on that waiting list already knew about the car, and we were very upfront with them about the fact that, you know, we were creating this list to prove demand to General Motors in the hope to get them to build more cars, but it could be a year, it could be 2 years, could be never before that they would build more cars. And these people still chose to get on that list. And Dave admitted to there being 4,000 or 5,000 people in the limited market of California and Arizona who are willing to wait an unspecified amount of time to get an EV1. So you can imagine how many people would have signed up for a car had it not been that hard just to get on the waiting list for one.
Why do you think that is? Why didn't they make more?
Well, that's a question we'd really love Dave to give us a straight answer to. But here's what I can tell you. He says there's no demand, but GM dismantled the EV1 factory before they released the Gen 2 cars to the public. So they decided there was going to be no demand for their car before the product ever came to market. I'm not sure how that's possible.
You know, Ford, by the way, we interviewed Andy Otcho of Ford Motor Company last week, and he said the same thing about their electric vehicle. He said that it just was not demand. It's a very strange thing when these popular cars like electric vehicles and hybrid cars, even if they're only, you know, a small percentage right now, are being sort of limited or recalled. So let's get to what's happening currently. Why did you start this vigil, and what are you trying to do?
Well, a group of us actually started this vigil, and as much as Dave would like to marginalize us into it's an EV enthusiast, it's actually not an issue of EV enthusiasts and owners. It's an issue about an American public who would like a choice. You know, choice is one of the cornerstones of America, and GM has ensured that the American public has the choice to drive gas-guzzling SUVs, but they're denying us the choice to drive clean vehicles and the choice to be independent from oil and the choice to choose a technology that can provide clean air today. That's what this issue is about, is that we would like the choice to drive clean vehicles.
So what are you doing there in that parking lot?
Well, what we are doing is we are standing vigil over the last 71 now EV1s. We had 78 to start with, and GM sent a truck last Friday, we understand on the order of Bob Lutz, who's the vice chairman, to pick up some EV1s. So we are down about half a dozen cars. We have a standing offer on the table of $1.9 million to purchase these vehicles. That was the offer that you were referring to. We've had actually now 100 people offer to pay just under $25,000 apiece for each one of those cars. Once again, I have more people on a waiting list than I have cars. And that combined with the $13,000 each for each EV1 that GM has received in public money and the $18,000 or so they've already received in lease payments on this car makes a total of about $56,000 they have already received or have been offered for every one of those EV1s.
What do you mean by public money, the $13,000?
Well, there were up to $13,000 in public funding, federal and state tax incentives awarded to General Motors, really, on each EV1. $4,000 in federal money and $5,000 to $9,000 in California tax money, and then Arizona had their own incentives. So there are tens of millions of dollars in public funding wrapped up in EV1 and an equal number of S10s that General Motors has also been taking back and crushing.
If you'd like to find out more about this vigil, we're almost out of time. Please go to www.ecotalkblog.com. We'll have a link also to Chelsea's fascinating stories. Chelsea, would you like to give a couple websites for people who would like to support you?
Yeah, we have a website at www.saveev1.org.
And how long are you going to stay out there?
As long as it takes.
And you've had some celebrities take part as well?
We have. We have Ed Begley and Alexander Paul and Peter Horton. Woody Harrelson has been terribly supportive. Hart Bochner. We have a large group out there. But it's actually thousands more, you know, regular average people who simply want to drive clean vehicles.
And are you getting much street traffic? Are people stopping to talk to you and find out what you're about?
Absolutely. It's been amazing.
Well, I'm going to be down in Los Angeles in a couple of days. I think I'm going to come by and see it for myself.
Great.
I guess you're sort of an unlikely activist.
I am. I am an unlikely activist, but I'm a really obvious EV1 driver.
And Chelsea Sexton, we thank you for joining us. Chelsea, a former General Motors employee, hired way back when to promote EV1 cars, and she saw the great demand, and she said then she saw them taken away, and she's angry about that. She's a mother. Her son took naps in the EV1 while her husband, who she met on the job, the technician, was working on the EV1. I just love that story. Check us out, ecotalkblog.com, and have a great green week. See you next time.
How much can she take? How much can she give? How much is too much and how much longer?